Hello, and welcome to episode 182 of the Nintendo Jump Podcast. We are a weekly discussion podcast created for Nintendo gamers by Nintendo gamers. Today is December 25th. My name's Kellen. And today, as always, I am joined by previous NJP hosts and current NJP hosts for a Christmas celebration. So this is our Game of the Year episode, and we are going back and recapping some of our favorite games and moments from last year. So the way this is kind of going to work is with the busy holiday season, we are recording these all separately, and Sergio, our great editor, is going to combine all these together. And so kind of the way this episode's going to flow is a little bit different. We've got different categories we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about, obviously, our top three games this year. We're going to be talking about games that surprised us, games that were a little disappointing, ones that we didn't get to get around to playing this year but are looking forward to playing next year, and just a couple other topics. So it'll be really nice to hear from everyone, and I'm glad we could accommodate around the busy holiday schedule to get this episode out to you guys. So yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and kind of dive into this episode.
Hey guys, it's Daryl. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast, but you know I couldn't resist coming on to talk about this crazy year, and boy, what a year 2021 was. Just for me personally, I mean, it's been an absolutely transformative year. After, you know, for those of you who've listened to NJP for a long time, you'll know that I left the podcast after about 3 years of recording in March. And you know, at the time, I made the decision to basically focus on other aspects of my life. There was a lot of projects and things that I wanted to work on. And to be honest, some of those happened. I had always kind of intended to do some more recording, start a YouTube channel, do things like that. That hasn't fully happened yet, and I want to emphasize yet, it will happen. But the reason it hasn't happened yet is everything else that's gone on this year. So, you know, as we've been navigating the lingering effects of the pandemic, some other really positive things have happened for me. So, you know, soon after I left the podcast, actually about a month after I left the podcast, I ended up starting a new job, which has been honestly kind of life changing for me. The last position I was in was, you know, weighing on me pretty heavy, and thankfully that's behind me at this point. The year has also had some challenges and ups and downs and stresses, you know, the same way it has for everyone. But overall, it's been a good year, and it's been a really good year for gaming. And, you know, while it's not, according to my Nintendo Wrapped email, I haven't played quite as much as I did in 2020, you know, shocker there. But the games that I have played and the games I've played, especially with people in the community, and you know, just the experiences that we've had, you know, it's honestly one of my more favorite gaming years in a long time. So yeah, it's been a really good time.
So before I kind of get into my picks for this year and my choices for Game of the Year, I just wanted to go ahead and thank you guys for another great year in our Discord and on this podcast. It's been a great year for personal growth for me, and also for the podcast. Being able to meet new people that have joined our community has been great. Definitely been one of the brighter spots of this year on the podcast, is just, you know, meeting the new faces and being able to communicate with you guys daily. It's always a great hop into Discord and see what people are talking about in the games that we're playing and what we're excited for. So it's been a great year with a lot of great announcements, and I know there's a lot more on the horizon here for next year. So again, I just wanted to thank you guys for, you know, this great year and all the exciting times we've had together.
It was good, y'all. It's Kevin. Man, it has been quite a year. Even though we still live in the midst of COVID, a lot of changes happened, right? We had changes in our mainstay host personnel. We had a lot of changes in the games we played, you know, whether it's a genre that we really gravitated towards or a game that we didn't expect that we really liked this year. A lot of things happened, but through it all, want to give a huge thank you to everyone who's listened to us this year. It really means a lot to us, and honestly, we're nothing without our listeners. That's just fact. So with that said, let's get on with the show. We got a lot to talk about. Gonna hit the ground running. Let's do this.
Hello, everyone. This is Sergio. I hope you're having a great conclusion to 2021. It's been quite an interesting year in terms of gaming overall, in terms of maybe personal development or personal achievements to some of us, which is nice to see. You know, things are interesting, but for the most part, things are good. Hopefully, everyone is having a nice conclusion to the year, but looking forward to an even better year next year, 2022, in terms of your life and in terms of gaming, too. It's been an honor to be part of the Nintendo Jump podcast through 2021, and I'm looking forward to 2022 and keeping this going. I hope the year has been good for you overall. I know due to world events, it's not been the best year, perhaps, or for a lot of us, it hasn't, but there's a Pokemon called Plusle that has positive or plus signs on its cheeks, and to me that just always reminds me to stay positive. And I want to remind everybody to just focus on the positive, always look at the glass as being half full instead of half empty, and just keep pushing, keep trying your best. Things will improve, and we are all in this together. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being on our Discord and being our listeners. It's been awesome to be a part of this podcast. And we look forward to having you with us in 2022. It could be a very exciting year. We could get more rumors or maybe a confirmation of a Switch Pro, like an actual Switch Pro with 4K and HDR and all that. The other systems might have their slim version. So it could be big in terms of gaming. But even if it isn't, we'll be here to cover whatever happens and to give you our crazy selves in this podcast that you listen to for some reason.
Oh man, game of the year has always been a hard question for me in 2021. And I mean, even from the beginning of the year, we've had some just absolutely incredible games come out that honestly, I've been kind of debating this list the entire year. But I think I'm good. I think I've got it. So without further ado, I'm going to start with my number three game of the year. And that would actually be Bravely Default 2. Which ended up being my most played game this year, which was a little surprising to me. But ultimately, and this was the most highly contested spot just because of how many awesome games there were. But yeah, Bravely Default 2 is just one of the tightest, cleanest, coolest RPGs I've played. It's still got a bit of a fairy tale story, and it's not exactly the deepest story, but where the game really excelled, just like its predecessors, is in the battle system. And I mean, the game is just incredible. The battle system is one of the best ones I've ever played in a game. So if you like kind of old school RPGs, but with a very solid, interesting, hooking battle system, Bravely Default, the whole series is great, but Bravely Default 2 did not let me down. For my number two game of the year, this one, it's not really a surprise, but it goes all the way back to the beginning of the year with Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. So generally with these lists, I try not to, you know, include ports as much as I can. However, this one did so much to set itself apart from the game that was on the Wii U to what it is now. And I'm not just talking about Bowser's Fury, which was an excellent time, if a little bit, you know, short and condensed, but even the addition of online multiplayer on this game just completely changed the landscape for it. It's made it one of my favorite games to play with people. I will forever remember the throw each other off the ledge battles that Kellen and I had. And we'll probably continue to have. I just love playing this game. It is pure happiness and one of my favorite games ever. So, yeah. But it's not the best game of this year. My top game for 2021, and this is really not surprising. I've been kind of spoiling it heading into it for a long time. It's Metroid Dread. Come on. It's the first new 2D Metroid game in over 15 years. It is... I can't believe I'm saying this, but it actually lived up to the hype from the reveal. It was a power rush, but terrifying roller coaster of a game that somehow gets better the second time you play it. So I played it, you know, back to back all the way through. And honestly, the second playthrough was more entertaining. If you haven't done that yet, you know, please do it. It's really fun. But the game just plays great. It alternates like being extremely powerful and being completely helpless, and not even just in the ME sections, but on bosses until you figure them out. And then you do figure them out and you feel unstoppable. It, in terms of quote unquote video game, this is amazing. It's up there with the best games on Switch. It's a little bit shorter of an experience, but I actually think that that makes it better in this case. It has to be my game of the year. Do want to give a couple shout outs. I could not condense my, you know, I couldn't keep these on the list with the top three being as strong as they were, but it's not because of how bad, like, it's not because these games didn't deserve it. Monster Hunter Rise is incredible. Tony Hawk, the HD remaster on Switch is incredible. It plays really well. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my second time playing through Skyward Sword with the HD remaster. And I really, really enjoyed Tetris Effect Connected. So it's just an overall very strong year for games.
So kind of going ahead and diving into my top three picks for my game of the year. Number three, I'm going to be starting off with Mario Golf Super Rush. And man, for the longest time, this is going to be my disappointing game because I went out and I pre-ordered it. I was really excited. It was one of our game of the months. I enjoy sports games. I've never really played like a ton of golf ones, but I'd heard good things about Mario Golf, so I really wanted to get into it. And like, it was fine to start, but I kind of struggled with wanting to play it. And for a long time, I kind of didn't. They actually didn't have a physical copy of it at the GameStop I ordered it at, so I had to get it digital, and I was kind of kicking myself because I was like, man, I kind of wish I could return this game after this month, but I stuck with it, and thankfully the development team did as well because so many updates have come out that have really made this game worthwhile to me, and I'm really starting to see the appeal. So they've added different modes, things like the you've got one shot to get it onto the green and then one putt to get it into the hole. So there's different like challenge courses in that respect. They've added new courses. They've added like a top golf type mode where you're trying to hit a golf ball into a little area. So it's kind of skill based. They've added new characters. They've just done a lot to really kind of lengthen out the game. And I've had fun going online and playing, trying to get a rank to get the different exclusive cosmetics each month and things. It's just been a lot of fun for me. And kind of snuck up to the number three spot. It really rose the charts there for me. So that was really good to see. And it is a game that I recommend now in its current state. So number two for me, maybe no surprise it's on the list, but maybe surprising it's number two, is going to be Metroid Dread. So going into this, I hadn't played really any Metroid game all the way through. I played a little bit of Super, but not a ton. So I kind of knew what to expect, but I didn't expect it to be, you know, this masterful. Metroid Dread is definitely top three greatest Switch games, if not, you know, top two, top one. I mean, it's definitely up there for a lot of people. For me, I think, I don't know, it's just hard to beat the first game on my list, but it was definitely neck and neck with it. Dread was great because it provided a lot of opportunities for people to understand the Metroid series, one that people might not have been familiar with just because it hasn't sold historically well. It's been a while since we've gotten one, you know, the first one on Switch. And so to get this and have it be as cinematic and grand and exciting as it is, the boss fights are amazing. The production level's great on it. Just an incredible game. And some people like to dog on it a bit because of how short it is, but I don't regret paying full price for this game at all. It is stellar, and again, one that I recommend to absolutely anyone. I'm sure other hosts are going to talk about it, and I'm sure I can't say more about it than Daryl can, so I think I'm just going to leave it at that. Alright, and so for my number one game this year, I actually had to go back to confirm that it came out this year, because it feels like it's been out forever, but it came out in February, and it is Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. Man, this game's incredible. Obviously, we'd gotten the 3D collection ahead of time, so I had played, you know, Sunshine and Galaxy and 64, so I got a bit of a feel for what 3D Mario's like, but 3D World is just arguably the greatest Mario game I've ever played. I still think Odyssey's number one, but 3D World's probably number two. And to just have the online multiplayer aspect of it, being able to play online and get through challenging levels together or just pick up and throw friends off a cliff, it's just a really good time. The level design's fun. Some levels are still challenging, so that's still there. It's just everything that a 3D Mario game should be and more. And then obviously Bowser's Fury was a great addition. It's kind of like a sandbox mode where you're running around. It's not super long, but just as Mario, you're trying to collect different cat shines to ultimately defeat Bowser. And it's just a lot of fun. I can tell they had a lot of fun doing it. Just a bunch of like challenge sections of trying to complete tasks in time or just searching around, trying to find the different shines. It's just a really good time and something that you could even play in one sitting if you wanted. So I think the replayability is definitely here. I've gone through and created multiple files for 3D World, and I absolutely adore it. It's a top 5 Switch game for me. And again, no surprise, one that I would recommend to anyone to go get. I think it's a great holiday game to gift someone, a great game for someone that's familiar with Mario, but maybe not gaming as a whole. Wholeheartedly recommend that one.
Okay, so my top 3 games of the year. Oh man, this was tough because I had two in honorary mention. Y'all know where it is, right? Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir. You know I love my point-and-click adventure games. And Mario Party Superstars. That was so good. Even though I took a long time to play a Mario Party game since Mario Party 3, you know, Mario Party Superstars really nailed it out of the park. But my top 3 of this year, in no particular order, Cyber Shadow, Bravely Default 2, and last but not least, Wingspan. Now, I included Wingspan this year because technically it released December 29th, 2020, but I mean, 2 days, and then boom, 2021. So, like, I still count it as a 2021 game, especially since I spent quite a good amount of time playing Wingspan, you know, this bird engine board game, this strategy game, with our Discord community. I mean, it was such a phenomenal time, and, you know, every day I would be, you know, playing Wingspan with different folks, you know, different games going on. It was just so cool, and just the way it was implemented from board game to video game was just fantastic. Yeah, Cyber Shadow was just a very, you know, just harken back to the Ninja Gaiden days for me, but a bit more fair, right? Like, it was a nice challenge. The story is a bit interesting, not your typical story. And yeah, overall, the combat was fluid. Well, combat, like when you're, you know, platforming and you're going against, you know, different enemies and stuff, like that was really nice. I love the platforming. I love the adventure that came with it. Very solid game. You know, I highly recommend that as well. And then Bravely Default 2, y'all know I love my RPGs. I gotta have at least one RPG to play this year. And Bravely Default 2 nailed it right out of the ballpark for me. I thought that, you know, it wasn't the most innovative RPG in terms of story, but I think the way they did the battle system with, you know, Brave, the Brave Default system, it was done very well. These characters, the voice actors were so memorable, and I loved every bit of it, like, during my time playing. And I highly recommend anybody who's a huge RPG fan to play Bravely Default 2. Fantastic. Don't miss it. If you are into an RPG that you want to just put your time in, this is the one.
My game of the year, second year in a row, should I say my game of the smear, is Pooplers. Definitely Pooplers. With the latest patch, they added... Okay. In all seriousness, my game of the year is not part of this list because, unfortunately, it's not on the Switch. It's not on a Nintendo system. If I really had to pick from all the games that I played this year, my game of the year is Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139... or basically the first Nier game, Nier Gestalt, a remake of that game from back in the previous generation, I think PS3, and Xbox. So, Xbox 360. Yeah, it was a really good game. unfortunately, like I said, it's not on the Switch. It's not on a Nintendo system. I wish it was because it's so good. It's an instant classic. If you have the means, please, please, please play it. Consider getting it on one of the other systems. If you have it, PS4, Xbox Series X, or the Xbox One X. Yes, it's really good. Great story. Very good gameplay. It's an action RPG. But anyway, I'm kind of digressing here. My game of the year, if I have to stick on the Nintendo side of things, it's the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is a package of Great Ace Attorney 1 and 2 for the Switch. It's part of the Phoenix Wright type of Ace Attorney games. So it's a duo of games in a way that really adds to the experience because it's sort of two games in one. If I couldn't keep them as a bundle, they're still good games, but when you kind of put them together and you kind of have to, by far, my favorite game on a Nintendo system this year. The reason I say that you kind of have to is because the story in these two games is so intertwined. The chapters between the games are so connected to each other. When you play the first game, you don't know for sure until you kind of get to the end of the game and you see all these, not loopholes, but all these things that are still not resolved. And then they wrap it all together in the second game in such a great way. It's a great experience. It's an adventure game. So this is, again, the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles. It's an adventure game or a duo of adventure games, a dual pack. They're sort of point and click. You play as an ace attorney in Great Britain, like, I want to say like the 1800s or 1900s. So it's more on, it's in the past. Technology is not as advanced as it is on the first couple of Ace Attorney games. So it's more old school in a way. You're kind of limited as to how you approach crime scenes, investigations, interrogations, etc. But the games are so good in what they do that's not really a limiting factor. But it doesn't even matter. The game is just so good in everything, basically. The story is really good. The voice acting, the animation in the game is top notch. And keep in mind, these were on the 3DS and they barely made their way to America thanks to Capcom bringing them over to the Switch. You cannot tell that this was on the 3DS. It's are so polished and so well brought together to the current generation of systems. I believe this game is also on the PlayStation 4 and on Steam. But definitely my game of the year. I'm a big fan of the franchise. And again, if I can sort of blend the two together, this is definitely my favorite Ace Attorney game, hands down, by far. It's amazing. If you like adventure games, if you want a good story, something that is going to keep you glued to your seat or to your Switch, this is it, for sure. My second top game of the year is Metroid Dread. Because of everything that is involved with the game, you know, the way it was revealed during E3, and then it came out a couple of months after. It only took that long. But no, it's not only is it a really good game, it's a Metroidvania, and it's one of the best Metroidvanias, I would have to say, at least in recent memory of the ones that I have played. And it's a really good 2D Metroid game. But it implies so many more things. Just Metroid coming back as a franchise and winning Action Adventure Game of the Year at the Game Awards and being nominated for Game of the Year and having sold really, really, really well and creating a lot of hype and word of mouth for not just the game, but the franchise. Especially considering, you know, we're getting Metroid Prime 4 very soon, hopefully. But just having Metroid back, I really hope, as a quintessential Nintendo franchise, it was awesome to see. Not only that, but I mean, the game itself backs it up completely. A good Metroidvania depends on certain aspects, tight controls, very good gameplay, great progression, a very entertaining world that keeps you coming back to it, and, you know, lots of side quests or hidden things to keep coming back to. And Metroid Dread checks all of those boxes with a bold permanent marker. It absolutely nails them down. It was a great experience. It had more story than I was expecting, and it's a good story, I would say. A little cliche in some ways, but again, I was not expecting this much story, and the game backed it up completely. So it was a great experience all around. You know, Metroidvanias are more on the short side, and Metroid Dread is no exception. But again, it's more about quality with this genre and with this game, and I would say with this franchise. And Metroid Dread delivers, absolutely. And again, it's not just Metroid Dread, but the implications that it brings Metroid back into the spotlight. And Metroid Prime 4 and any future Metroid games have a lot to keep up with thanks to Metroid Dread. It was an awesome game and I highly recommend it. My third favorite game of the year is also a game by Capcom. And it's not a game that I finished. I think I got close to it, but even so, it was that good that it made the list. I'm talking about Monster Hunter Rise. This was my first Monster Hunter game. And to be honest with you, I was intimidated before because they seemed like very overwhelming games. Games that took a lot of learning, a lot of patience, a lot of trial and a lot of errors to really get started. And because of that, I decided that for my first Monster Hunter game, I was gonna focus on single player. I have not played this game in multiplayer at all. I wanted to learn everything on my own just so I wouldn't slow anybody down, or so I thought, you know, as I'm learning the ropes of the franchise. But man, oh man, it was an amazing experience getting to learn the franchise and getting the realization that it's not as difficult to grasp and to get a hold of as I thought. Because it's a lot of fun. It's very well designed. The tutorials are really good. The gameplay is very addictive and you want to keep doing another mission and defeating another monster, and you get items, you get stronger weapons, and you want to discover different weapons that you can try, and there's so many and they're so varied between each other. It's a great experience. The music is amazing in the game too. That definitely speaks to me a lot. But yeah, it was a great experience. I can only imagine playing this in multiplayer, how much fun it would actually be, especially once you play with more experienced people and you kind of team up and strategize on how things are going to go. Oh my goodness, it's got to be amazing. So even for being my first Monster Hunter game, I wish I had played them before. I believe this game definitely introduced new gameplay mechanics, new ways to speed things up. It's more of the semi-open world type of environment. You go into this open world-ish area. It's not the whole world, but it's a big area. You find the monster, you fight the big monster. Along the way, you can gather resources or fight smaller monsters. So it's a pseudo-open world game, but it's really well done. It's very well designed. The story is nothing to write home about. It's not supposed to be, technically, but it's there if you want it. The world building is really good. The characters in the village in the game are well designed. They keep you interested and they keep you coming back. But honestly, I think the biggest part of the game is the gameplay. And I wish I had played Monster Hunter games before, and I'm a fan of the franchise now. That's how good this game is. I'm a fan of the franchise now, and I'm looking forward to whatever Monster Hunter has to offer in the future.
I had to think pretty hard for most disappointing game. To be honest, most of the games I actually played this year, I was not disappointed by in the least. The only one in that category that I could kind of bring reference to is Spelunky 2. Which feels kind of weird because that's a game that I put probably 50 or so hours into and hated every minute. I'm kidding. I didn't. I actually enjoyed my time with it, but ultimately it just turned into a frustration game that I had to force myself to archive on my Switch so I would stop playing it. And that's not the lasting feeling I want from a video game. So that's the only one that I played that I would call maybe disappointing. But the one that really stood out to me is one that I did not get a chance to play this year, and I wanted to. It's Fall Guys. Where's Fall Guys? I don't understand what's happening with that game. It should be on Switch. It needs to be on Switch. Maybe 2022.
So my most disappointing game this year, you know, it was going to be golf, as I had mentioned, but I decided to steer away from that because the game really improved over time and I found myself really enjoying it. So the disappointing game for me, and disclaimer, it's not because it's a bad game. It just didn't resonate with me like I really thought it would. Spelunky 2. So obviously a critically acclaimed game. I still have fun with it, but I thought this was going to be my game of the year as soon as it was announced. It just, like, checked all the boxes for me. You know, roguelike, online multiplayer, beloved game, finally coming to Switch, long requested. And for whatever reason, it just didn't resonate with me at all. It just feels way too difficult at times, and some of the interactions that happen that cause you to die are just tilting and frustrating, and it can just be like a chain reaction of a boulder falling on something, upsetting someone, and it shoots you, and then you lose your last heart, and it's just a ball of frustration for me. And I can definitely see how rewarding it would be to go through and learn the different interactions, the different items, things you have to do, and overcoming it, I'm sure, feels great. But for me, I didn't feel attached enough to the game to dive into it, to learn enough to really apply myself to it. And so for that reason, I think Spelunky 2 is my most disappointing game. But, you know, it's one I could go back and fall back in love with, so I'm hoping to go ahead and play that again next year.
Oh, man, I didn't want to get into this. I'm so disappointed of this game. My most disappointing game this year. It's a hot take. Could be controversial, which I'm quite known for amongst the hosts of this podcast. Mario Golf Super Rush. Oh, I know. That is just... It kills me to say that, but it's true. It was my most disappointing game of the year. Even though it was really fun at times, you know, when you're playing golf and hitting the ball felt really nice, you know, with different spins and the different courses, and even just, you know, you have, you know, speed golf, battle golf, the single player golf venture, which I felt like it wasn't really well executed and definitely very forgettable. But I know that when they make these kind of games, it's not for single player. I mean, single player is mainly to get you more familiar with how to play the game, but overall, I just never felt the need to keep playing. I mean, granted, a very memorable time with this game was during our Game of the Month episode when, you know, we were, you know, Sergio, Kellen, and I were playing all together live while we were recording. That was really fun. But other than that, like, it wasn't a game that really gripped me from the get-go. I felt like at times it was a chore to play. I know that there are other people out there, especially in our Discord community, who love this game, but for me, it didn't give me the rush. It didn't give me that adrenaline rush. And so that, to me, sadly, is my most disappointing game. Even though it was what I think it was a decent game overall, but for me, it just didn't really hit it for me. So, yeah.
My most disappointing game, this kind of hurts me to say it. It's a surprise in a way, but it's a disappointing surprise. And I'm talking about new Pokemon Snap. And I know I talked a little bit of trash about this game on previous episodes, and I mean, if you like the game, that's great. If you enjoy the game, that's awesome. Because I really enjoyed the original Pokemon Snap on the Nintendo 64. And that's why it's a surprise to me that I didn't really like this game, even though it's very similar to Pokemon Snap. So maybe it's not the game's fault. It's just that I'm more into faster-paced games now. New Pokemon Snap definitely feels slow to me, but some games need to be in that style, and that's completely fine. I know actually most people on our Discord really enjoy their time with the game, and that's great to see. I mean, the game has Scorbunny, and I kind of don't even care. I mean, that's how surprising / disappointing this game was to me. And again, it's not the game. It's well designed. I even heard that it has more story than it has the right to, in a way, which is interesting to me. But it just didn't click with me, and it just felt too slow, too repetitive. I want to say boring, but that's sort of unfair. It's just different. It's just different. It's not my style anymore, at least not now. So that was a big pass for me. But again, if you liked it, that's great. I know a lot of people did, and that's awesome. And it's good to see, you know, an old franchise, or I guess a previous game, get brought back with a second entry. Now Pokemon Snap is a franchise, and hopefully it sort of leads developers to bring back all their games that were sort of cult classics like the original Pokemon Snap, and maybe we can get new franchises going this way. If we can make them fun ones, even better.
For my most surprising game, this is kind of a funny one, and I'm cheating by 2 days. It came out in late December in 2020, but whatever, it counts. It's Wingspan. So the way Wingspan really just took over our Discord, and we had multiple tournaments, and we had pretty much everybody playing it with each other, with, you know, in solo modes, and in 5-player and 2-player, competitive, cooperative, just how much fun this bird card game was, kind of came out of the blue for me. And I think it kind of did for most of the Discord. And it was just a really fun time. It's been a particularly fun game to play with Beck, which is important to me. And it's just, I was very surprised by this game. I thought I would like it. I did not think that it would take off the way it did, and I didn't think I would like it as much as I did.
Yeah, so as far as my surprising game this year, you're not going to believe it. It's a Pokemon game, but it's not Diamond. It's actually Pokemon Snap. New Pokemon Snap is great. I hadn't played the original Pokemon Snap, so this was a little different for me. And at first, I thought the concept was a little bit weird of going down a track, just trying to, you know, photograph Pokemon. I thought it was a little weird, but I really got into this game and ended up having a ton of fun with it. Was able to go through, take pictures of all the Pokemon, explore all the areas. It's great because, again, they added additional support. They added tracks where you're shrink down, so the Pokemon are huge, which actually added a little more complexity and depth to the game than I would have thought initially. Just because you're able to get different angles, different types of pictures. It just ended up being a really cool addition to the game. There are a ton of different tracks with like various environments. You're either going through the snow or a cave or underwater, or, you know, crawling through bushes, taking pictures of Caterpie or whatever. Just an incredible game that I really ended up enjoying. And one, again, that I would recommend to younger gamers, just fans of Pokemon, someone looking for a chill experience. This was the game for me that I would open up if I had 10 or 15 minutes and just play for a while. And it always felt like there was something to do because there's different challenges in the game of trying to get a certain interaction with a Pokemon and capturing that, or going through and playing in the different areas. They leveled up as you progressed your score. So you wanted to go back and level up an area so that new interactions unfolded. There might have been like an alternate route you could take, new Pokemon would show up, things like that. It was just awesome, and it really brought the franchise to life for me. I've always struggled a bit with Pokemon because there's like these really cool, you know, character designs, and all that they really are in the mainline games, there's kind of like PNGs on your screen, and there's just like weird little effects for when they attack and things, and it just feels so static and dead. But with Snap, it just felt like it came alive, and I understood like the personality of these Pokemon, and the ones that would hang out together, or the ones that are friendly, or the ones that are standoffish. And I feel like it just really fleshed out the world of Pokemon more than any of the mainline games have. So it definitely increased my appreciation for the franchise and is my surprising game of the year. I know that's surprising for everyone, so it's fitting.
Okay, so my most surprising game, and I did ask prior to make sure I can use this because it's actually a DLC. Most notably, Animal Crossing Happy Home Paradise. I just was so surprised on how well executed this was. I mean, you have Animal Crossing New Horizons, you know, just this life sim with your villagers on an island and, you know, doing the daily grind stuff and collecting a bunch of clothes that you'll probably won't wear all the time. But Happy Home Paradise was just a nice way to mix Animal Crossing up. You know, you're basically this interior design, well, exterior and interior designer for homes for different villagers that come that want to have their ideal happy home, their dream home, and you get to really exercise your creative noggin. And I just felt like, you know, for what it was worth, I believe it was $25 on its own, or if you buy the expansion pass for Nintendo Switch Online, like it. That totally worth it. I would have paid $30-$35 for it, honestly. It definitely surprised me on how well it was like packaged, and I just fell in love with the game and or the DLC. I definitely spent a good chunk of time for those first 2 weeks just playing, you know, making all those homes. I was just like, yeah, I'm the designer, and this is exactly what I wanted to do for different villagers. You know, you could, you know, make homes for a movie star, or you can make a spa for someone. And then there are other things that you can do in the game or this DLC that it will surprise you. Most surprising game for me, / DLC. So yeah, really cool.
Most surprising for 2021, aside from Monster Hunter Rise and gaining me as a fan of the whole franchise now, I'm gonna go with a game that I have also sort of put down in previous episodes. I say sort of, but I definitely have. I'm talking about The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword. It was remastered or remade / slightly remastered for the Switch this summer. I rented it and I really, really liked it. It's really well done. It's very well polished. It's very, modernized from the Wii to the Switch. It's not a lot of generations apart, but they did a very good job with it. And to my surprise, and to add more to the surprise of me liking this game in the first place, is the fact that I'm actually enjoying it the most with motion controls using the Joy-Con controllers. The way the original game was designed and meant to be played with the Wiimote and Nunchuk. It worked really well. They might have improved on it from the Wii to the Switch port, but it just controls really, really well. I tried button controls and I just couldn't grasp them. I have a couple of friends that have played the game that way using non-motion regular button controls and they enjoy the game. So it's good to know that their option is there. But for me, using the Joy-Con felt super, super natural, and the game was good. I was enjoying the game. I had to return it to rent the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, so I only got to do about 2 of the dungeons. I know that's not a lot, but trust me, it gave me the taste of Skyward Sword that I didn't know I needed and wanted in my life. I'm looking forward to renting this game again so I can finish Skyward Sword and complete this turnaround that has been very surprising and very nice to see. You know, it's good to grow, and I feel like me accepting Skyward Sword, that's growth in its purest form.
For a game that I didn't get to play this year, but I'm excited to play next year, to be honest, I'm a little salty about this one. Not really, I understand it, but man, I can't wait to play Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. This game was meant to come out in December of 2021, got delayed until 2022, and man, that was disappointing because I really want to play it. I cannot wait to play it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what this does in the Discord, and just playing through the campaigns again. I really like these games, and it's been a while since I played them, and I just can't wait. I'm hyped.
So obviously, with all these great games coming out this year, we weren't able to get to every game that we really wanted to, and there's one that I really kicked myself throughout the year for not jumping in on, but it came out like 2 weeks after my game of the year, so I just, you know, I never got around to it. But I've since, you know, made up for that, and I got it on a killer sale. Even, you know, a new copy, which was incredible to me, Bravely Default 2. So this is a game that I'm sure might be on some other hosts, you know, game of the year list, or at least they were in contention. And this game just felt way too big for me at the moment that it came out. But it's one I definitely want to, you know, jump into. The characters seem to be well beloved. The battle system seems really neat. I didn't spend a ton of time in the demo just because in the back of my mind, I kind of knew I was going to get this game. So I figured, you know, I'd just experience it when I got it, but I never did. And it just kind of sat back there and was a little daunting, and I've always wanted to get into it, but I just haven't. And so that would be the game that released this year and early this year that I want to get around to playing, you know, this coming year more. And I definitely hope to find kind of that soft spot between releases this coming year where I can sit down and really knock it out. Obviously these longer games, I mean, I'm sure this is a 40, 60, 80 hour game, depending on how much time I want to spend in it. I kind of like knocking out not necessarily all at once, because obviously there's that burnout, but it's hard to get into these games, get halfway, get tired, take a break, and then when you come back, you're not quite sure what's going on, you forget the synergies you had, the abilities your characters have and things, so kind of have to carefully plan this one out, but it's the one that I'm definitely most excited to jump back into. So yeah, Bravely Default of the second variety there. Had to be brave twice, right, Kevin?
The game I didn't get to play this year that I am excited to play next year is The Great Ace Attorney 2 Resolve, which is part of the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which was a 2-in-1 game that came out earlier this year. I believe it was in the summer. I am pretty far into the first part of the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles. Not into the second part of the game, The Resolve, but man, like, once I get there, I just can't wait, because I know Sergio mentioned it in a previous episode way back earlier this year on the pod. Like, he was telling me how, or he was telling us that, you know, it was just really good, really well done. And yeah, I mean, y'all know I am a longtime fan of the Ace Attorney series. I do feel really bad I didn't get a chance to play this second part of the Chronicles, but that is the one. I'm excited to play it. Watch out.
A game that I didn't get to play this year and I really wanted to, and hopefully next year I will get a chance to do so, is Monster Hunter Stories 2, an RPG in the Monster Hunter franchise, a sequel to Monster Hunter Stories, which was on the 3DS. This game just came out when I was playing, again, Skyward Sword and then Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, and they just never got a chance to give it a proper try because, you know, it's an RPG and those take more time than other game genres, and I don't want to rush it based on some gameplay that I've seen. We even got to see a lot of it during E3 with the Nintendo Treehouse. They did a lot of gameplay demos of the game, and a lot of people on our Discord really enjoyed it. I know Phoenix from our Discord is a big devotee of this game, and she really promotes these being a great RPG. And again, me now being a fan of the Monster Hunter franchise, I really wanted to get to this game, but I just couldn't. But again, it's something I'm looking forward to next year. I believe it's a really well done game. It got good reviews, good impressions from people on our Discord, and it's just nice to see Monster Hunter get a good grip on the Switch, not only the main series, but also the side series, this one RPG with the Monster Hunter Stories. So very nice to see, and I hope to play this next year for sure.
But for my most expected games next year, I couldn't pick between two of them. I'm sorry. Splatoon 3 and Breath of the Wild 2, both sequels to two of, like, literally my number one and number two game on Switch. And no, I won't tell you which one is which because it changes on a daily basis. But I cannot wait to hopefully play both Splatoon 3 and Breath of the Wild 2 at some point next year. I really, like, it's kind of interesting for both of these games. I'm really interested to see what they do with them. You know, what the story is, what the hook is, what they try to be, and for kind of different reasons. So Splatoon 2 is obviously kind of an iterative sequel, but I'm very curious to see, you know, what is the big new thing? Each, you know, Splatoon 2 added quite a few things on top of Splatoon in terms of modes, and, you know, it added the Salmon Run player versus enemy type mode. It also added the Octo expansion, which was really cool, and, you know, Clan Blitz. I'm just very curious, you know, what new modes are we getting? What new are we getting with Splatoon 3? I don't really care that much. I'm going to buy it either way. It's looking really good. For Breath of the Wild 2, boy, they just haven't shown that much yet, and there's so many mysteries and questions that I have. How do you make a sequel to one of the best games ever made? Well, we'll find out.
So the game that I'm expecting the most next year, and this might be cheating a little bit depending on how other people answer this because we already know it's coming, is Splatoon 3. I'm still expecting it to come out next year. I don't expect any sort of delays on this, but I'm so excited for this one. Mostly because I was really active in the Discord community when Splatoon 2 already kind of took hold. So I kind of missed the whole launch and the excitement and everyone learning the maps and the weapons and going through the different modes and playing together. Obviously, I still got to play with, you know, a ton of people, and I really enjoyed the game while I had it. And, you know, the single player mode even is incredible, so I'm really hoping to see that in 3 as well. But I'm just really excited to get my hands on this at release, you know, play with everyone on launch night, maybe take a day off and just learn the maps, play with everyone, learn the weapons, see what they decided to improve on. I think this is going to be a great game and could really elevate what Splatoon is. It's obviously become a big IP for Nintendo, and I think it'll only continue to grow with number 3. So that's my most anticipated game for next year.
My most expected game next year. Now, this changed recently because of a particular indie direct, well, indie world that happened earlier this month. Sea of Stars. I mean, look, when you have a game that you backed on Kickstarter in April 2020, and it just shouts, screams, it has Chrono Trigger written all over it, but in a very modernized, amazing way. I'm so excited for it. And we already talked about it from last episode. I mean, this is a game that I'm just so excited to play. This is going to be the RPG that I will play next year. You know, because for me, every year, I got to play at least one RPG. This is going to be it. Now, this was really hard because before that indie world, I really wanted Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp to be my most expected game next year. And or Windjammers 2, which is a upcoming disc sports game. And, oh, just to backtrack a little bit, Advance Wars, for those who may or may not know, is a strategy / tactics game. It was on the GBA, the Game Boy Advance. So yeah, those are like my next two that I'm most like looking forward to. But I mean, Sea of Stars, like, you gotta check it out. I know it's coming holiday 2022. I hope it doesn't delay any further, but like, man, I am so stoked for this game to come out. And just following its progress on Kickstarter with all the updates and all that, like, I'm just so happy that it's gonna come in 2022. I'm totally cool with waiting until the holidays of next year. It's literally gonna be a year from now, so heck yeah, that's my pick.
A game coming out in 2022 that I'm really looking forward to. Not gonna be very surprising if you know what I like, but yes, it's Pokemon Legends Arceus. I believe it's pronounced Arceus. I've also seen Arceus or Arceus, but I believe there's an official Pokemon company answer as to how it should be pronounced, and it's Arceus, so I'm gonna go with that. But this is Pokemon with the twist that a lot of us have been asking for a very long time. Maybe not as much as we would want. You know, a lot of us want a Pokemon with a hard mode. Maybe this might be a little bit harder because of how different it is. It's pseudo open world again. But yeah, it's looking very interesting. It's set in the Sinnoh region again, where the Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl remakes took place. So that was a nice way for Pokemon as a franchise to introduce that generation in that region before introducing Pokemon Legends Arceus and bringing something very unique to it, because it's in the region, but it's set way in the past, and the mechanics of the game are very different. This is very new for Pokemon as a franchise, and this game is by Game Freak, which is could be good and could be bad, but it's looking good. I'm excited to try it out, and I'm more excited for the changes that they're adding to the franchise. Like I said, Pokemon is really good, but Pokemon is very repetitive, and it's the same every year, every other year. Not with Arceus. I think Pokemon Legends Arceus is really shaking things up to a good degree. I want to see more changes, but maybe this is a good start. And that's what I'm hoping this is. I'm hoping Pokemon Legends becomes a separate franchise that keeps adding changes to the traditional Pokemon formula. So I hope the game is really good and that maybe it gains more fans that either are not interested in the traditional Pokemon franchise or that left it because of how repetitive it got. It's going to be very interesting. It comes out in late January 2022, and I'm really looking forward to it. All right, we have answers to last week's weekly question of last week for that week, ask last week and answer this week, I think. We asked, it's winter for most of us, and winters can be pretty cold. If you were really cold, what video game power-up, item, or character, I want to emphasize that, or character, would you like to have to keep yourself warm? We have answers from our Discord members. For example, Napping Rat said, Mario's Fire Flower? Seems like it also makes him resistant to getting burned, so I think it will work in a pinch to get warm. That's a good catch, Napping Rat, because I feel like if you throw those fireballs around, there's going to be a fire. I hope you're safe. But like you said, you can get burned, so I think you will be safe. I just hope you're alone. For Orange Dragon said, if I had the ice flower from Galaxy, I would be able to do great pirouettes everywhere. And I don't know if I'll be warm, but I doubt I would feel cold. I mean, that's true. If you're made of ice, you're probably not cold, or you don't mind it. So yeah, interesting approach to the answer there. I like that. To Roberto said, gotta be crispy bacon from the Banjo-Kazooie series. I'm noticing a trend here. A nice warm plate of crispy bacon. Bacon on my plate, bacon in my mouth, a bacon scarf, everything bacon. Bacon. Nice. To Roberto. Okay, sure. Let's go with that. Filmmaker said, the spicy pepper from Fortnite. Not only will I be kept nice and warm, but I'll also enjoy the extra speed boost as well. Nice. Dragon said, the dash pepper from Galaxy 2. If not me eating it, then the Yoshi I'm riding on having it, and hopefully that heat radiating towards me. Interesting approach as well. Nice. Green Tendog said, I would become close friends with the Angry Sun from Super Mario Bros. 3, but not too close. That's good thinking too. Yeah, you're going to get chased. You're going to get a good workout there. But yeah, it'll keep you warm for sure. All right. So my answer, no, it's not Scorbunny. I know that sounds crazy. See, the thing is, Scorbunny's warm comes from his patches only, and I want something that creates more warm, something that generates more warm through their whole body. And yes, it is a Pokemon. I'm thinking of Tepig, the starter fire pig Pokemon from the Black and White generation. Tepig would be very nice to hug and to sleep next to. That would be like my own little heater. I just have to feed it, but we can manage that. So yeah, I would go with Tepig. And then if I get hungry, we'll answer that some other time.
I'm cheating a bit with this one, but if I was really cold, what thing from a video game would I want to keep myself warm? It's not really an item, I'm sorry, but you know, Pit just makes the hot springs from Kid Icarus games look so appealing that, I mean, if I were really cold, I would love to hang out in a hot spring. And he loves them, and they're everywhere in the Kid Icarus world, so it'd be nice to be there. Also, floor ice cream, so that'd be cool. But yeah, hot springs for me.
All right, and so to answer this question from last week, power up item to keep me warm. So obviously, no surprise here. I like Fortnite, and they used to have this item. It's still in the game, but you can't carry it around anymore. You used to be able to, which was cool. It's called Cozy Campfire, and you got to set it down anywhere you wanted. You could even stack, a couple in a row. And what they did was they would heal you over time. So if you were stuck in storm, or if you just left a fight and you were low, you could just place down a campfire, it would warm you up, and it would heal you, and you'd be able to continue on and fight, which was great. But I choose this item because it also impacted everyone around you. If an opponent was around, it would heal them too. If your friends or teammates were around, it would heal them too. And so it would just make sure everyone stayed warm during this cold winter. So I think that's definitely my pick there for the power-up item.
Man, so this week's question of the week for this week, of this week, by this week, for this week, if I were really cold, The video game character that I would like to have to keep warm is none other than Charizard. Y'all know what it is. I know y'all are thinking, wow, Kevin, you chose a Pokemon. I mean, you chose Krogunk last time for a question that we probably would have expected you to say a Pokemon. But you know what? Charizard is my guy. I mean, it's just the perfect situation for me where I'll have Charizard there. I'll have Charizard there to just, you know, keep me warm. And he's scary, right? He has this legendary tough look that you just don't want to mess with. You're like, oh snap, that's Charizard. He's keeping that guy warm. We better leave him alone. Let's just do that. We'll go away. Have fun. Good night. Heck yeah. That's the situation, okay? So, Charizard, if you hear me, I'm just kidding. That's my answer.
And now for this week's weekly question of the week for this week, ask this week and answer next week. Tell us about a game released in 2021 that you wish you had played this year, but just haven't gotten around to. So we're asking you one of the questions that we answered. We want to know what game you just didn't get a chance to play this year and that you're looking forward to in 2022. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to jump out of here. If you haven't already, join our Discord group. The description for this episode has a link to it if you would like to join. We are also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And check out our blog at nintendojump.blogspot.com. Send us any feedback you have at nintendojumppodcast@gmail.com. The best way to support the show is through our Patreon page at patreon.com/nintendojump or by leaving a review for the show in your favorite podcast application. This is Sergio, and on behalf of everyone that is or has been a part of the Nintendo Jump podcast, thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week and a great end to 2021. Bye-bye.
Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
My voice stretched a little bit. Take care, everybody. Stay safe and see you next year.